T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
As a card-carrying member of the KISS Army, I am thrilled to announce we are giving away KISS tickets during this show. During the Paul and Jordana show, you have the opportunity to win KISS tickets. But wait, it gets better, because the concert features David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Is Sammy Hagar? I'm a Hagar guy.
Look, love Sammy Hagar, too. I love Hagar solo. I love Hagar with Van Halen. But the David Lee Roth years with Van Halen cannot be denied. That was excellent as well, but this has nothing to do with Van Halen. What we're doing is giving away KISS tickets on this show, but it's featuring David Lee Roth, so it is a double whammy. They're playing at the XL Monday, February 24th. Some point in the next 3 hours, you will have the opportunity to win KISS tickets.
Nice.
But right now,
nice.
You can win a free trip to Vegas. We're also offering a Barry Manilow tickets. He's playing at the International Theater at the Westgate. Now, you can win a pair of VIP tickets to see Barry Manilow, the Hits Come Home Tour. It's a $500 package. 2 nights at the Westgate Las Vegas. They'll pay for your travel up to $800. And a box set of Night Songs 1 and 2. You do that by going to WCCORadio.com/contests. Go to the contest page. Enter to win the free trip to Vegas and the Barry Manilow tickets.
But again, just to clear this up, they are two separate concerts.
Correct. Vegas and Barry with Barry Manilow. Okay. You get to choose your dates. But KISS at the XL on February 24th featuring David Lee Roth. You have a chance to win those in the next 3 hours.
I pictured them all together and worlds collided.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
I can't imagine KISS opening for Barry Manilow or vice versa.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's full makeup. Do you have the answer to that, David? Is a KISS full makeup?
How could it not be?
Well, no, I didn't know there was an option.
Did one tour where it was no makeup, and it wasn't the same.
Huh.
It wasn't the same. And sometimes going to a KISS concert is a whole experience because everybody's in their own full makeup, and it's an absolute total blast. So, a child of the '80s, I'm a KISS fan. So I hope to see you at the concert. I hope you win the tickets, February 24th.
Absolutely, give it away stuff. Quick update, as we do most days here on the coronavirus. 5,000 more cases.
Wow.
Overnight. The death toll, at least 1,383. 3 of those outside of mainland China. But again, the total global number of people impacted, 64,435. And by the way, something that made me do a double take, CDC says 443 people in the United States are being investigated for coronavirus, which is an order of magnitude greater than what I was expecting. Of those, 15 have tested positive, 347 negative, 81 are still pending. My brother, Kent, has been teaching in China for a number of years. He's in Tangshan, which is about 2 hours east of Beijing. And I talked to him. He said it was a surreal sight. People are afraid to come out of their apartments. Again, everybody's in these high-rise condos, high-rise apartments. Mm-hmm. But he said it's like a ghost town, like something you'd see in, you know, The Walking Dead. But he said that people have actually barricaded themselves inside their apartments, trying to keep strangers who may be infected away from them. Here's what he had to say.
I took that picture because in some ways it was comical. They piled up bicycles and old computer desks and anything they could find into the gaps where this metal gate didn't cover. In other words, this apartment block that you're looking at in that photo is one of the upscale units. There are probably 25 blocks of apartments in there, ranging from 10 to 15 stories high. Do the math. It's thousands and thousands of people that live there. But what they've done is they've blocked access. You cannot enter. And what was freaky, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, which would be peak rush hour in China. And there was nobody there, no security guards, nobody checking temperature or writing down names. They, basically, the gate said, "We are closed, don't come in." And yeah, a little spooky. I called it the barricade mentality. Chinese are afraid that this has got some people spooked, and they all have kids, you know. So what they're doing is they're preventing anyone from entering their neighborhood. In my block of apartments, there are people there. You know, you can go in and out, and there are people that are checking. They're checking your name. They're maybe checking your temperature and where you live and your phone number, all that. But this block yesterday, there was just nobody there. And it was kind of spooky at 9 o'clock in the morning that this apartment complex with thousands and thousands of people was just absolutely shut down. I wanted to go in and do a little shopping. There's a little supermarket in there, and I've been hunting for bread from shop to shop. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go in and check out this little supermarket and pick up some bread. I used to go there all the time. Not yesterday. Mm-mm. It's closed. You cannot get in. And there's nobody there to ask.
You're connected via the internet. And I know you get the official Chinese line, but you can still access some websites in the United States. But you're probably atypical. I mean, most Chinese are, as you said, scared to death, and maybe they fear they're not getting the whole truth.
Okay, let me correct one thing. I don't read or watch any Chinese news at all. First of all, it's all in Chinese, and my language ability doesn't allow me to watch it anyway. So I watch nothing. The news I'm getting, I have a couple sources. I can access CNN with a VPN. CNN is blocked at the moment. MSN is not blocked, so I get MSN, I get Yahoo, I get USA Today, and I'm getting technical data from Johns Hopkins. And there is one site, the provincial government of my province does have an update in English. They translated this page into three languages so that foreigners could feel that they're getting some information. But yeah, most of the information I'm getting is coming from the West. But Chinese people are not being kept in the dark. They're very aware of what's going on. You can be sure about that.
And you still feel, I mean, at this point, safe? And are you optimistic?
You know, I was optimistic up until yesterday. It looked like the infected cases were leveling off. The word they're using in the media is peaking, the peak. For a while, we were seeing increases of 3,000 infected every day. And that was quite a bit. And then it leveled off, and now there was 1,000 new cases or 2,000. But today, when I saw the spike of 15,000 new infected cases, the optimism is tempered a little bit. You know, I'm still a positive thinker. And the aggressive way that they're trying to control this is worthy of praise. Like China or not, they're not playing around with this. And people themselves are very well aware of what's going on. You can't not be aware. All you have to do is walk out of your apartment, and the first thing you see is these 8-foot metal barriers where they have closed off residential neighborhoods. And that's throughout the city. I walked eight blocks yesterday, and every neighborhood entrance to every apartment block is the same. You are stopped. If they don't know you, you're going to run through a gauntlet of questions and a thermometer and where are you from and where have you been, where do you live, etc. Now, they don't bother me because I'm a foreigner and by now they know me, but they're taking it very seriously. I think that the danger is what I heard Fauci, who is kind of an expert on this. He used to be Centers for Disease Control. I'm not sure what he does now. His perspective is that this could turn into a kind of virus similar to the cold or the common flu, which means it's unstoppable. In other words, it could become one of those seasonal flus that, despite everyone's best efforts, you can't stop it. Right. Hopefully within a few months, they have vaccines and people can get vaccinated. But the optimism, yeah, I'm still optimistic, but it's tempered a little by the bad news that we saw today and the spike.
That was my brother Kent, who again teaches English in Tangshan, and he's stuck. I mean, he wanted to come back to visit, but they're not letting anybody out. I mean, the country is essentially, most of the country is quarantined. I brought up the whole thing about, well, you know, sometimes people blame diet habits. You know, the Chinese, not all of them, but they eat snakes and rats and mm-hmm. bat soup and, I mean, weird stuff. And I'm like, is that the problem, Kent? And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, slow down. He said, that swings both ways. He said, think mm-hmm. about it. In the United States, we had swine flu. Mm-hmm. We had mad cow disease.
That's right.
We had the bird flu, H1N1. So, you know, it seems a little unfair to be picking on what they're eating. But we'll keep you posted. And again, we have somebody on the inside, and he has a unique take on what's going on with coronavirus.
He's doing a great job, by the way.
I will tell him that.
He could have a future as a reporter.
He's a good teacher, and mm-hmm. you can tell he gets up in front of students. Mm-hmm. And obviously worried about my brother and worried about all of us.
We'll quickly mention the other big story of the day. Wild assistant coach takes over after Boudreaux is fired in his fourth year. We did a Twitter poll for you. Paul posted the poll.
Yeah, so far, the question was, look, Bruce Boudreaux was fired. Was it a good move? 10% said, yes, it's about time. 60% said, no, he was a scapegoat. 30% said, no opinion, go Twins.
You can vote. Vote on Twitter at WCCO Radio or P. Douglas Weather. Take our poll. We will be updating it throughout the day. And we'll talk with more about this with Mike Max at 4:45.
Right. Exactly.
When we get back, it's time to talk movies. I watched Parasite, and I wish I hadn't. Hear more next. So I watched it because everybody made me. They said, you have to watch Parasite. I mean, it freaking won Best Picture. So I watched it. And I'm not sure if The Open said this, but Tim Lammer's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. And Tim, I wish I hadn't.
You know, I heard you at the end of the show yesterday. You said you had nightmares.
I literally had nightmares. I woke up thinking that I won't give everything away.
No, don't give anything
away.
No spoiler alerts. I know, but I still haven't seen it. So
well,
please,
that's your problem.
Other listeners have not seen it. Just kidding. Yeah. Why is it so discomforting?
Well, you know, I guess you could classify it as a crime drama, because what you have is this poor family in South Korea. They find a way to scam a rich family in South Korea. And the more that they're scamming them, the greedier they get. And then they discover a secret, and then things go way south from there. There's a lot of violence involved. I guess I will tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really tough to talk about without giving anything away, so I won't. So, yeah, there's some stuff that is very shocking in the film.
Yes.
You know, it's not a horror film, even though it has a title like it's a horror film, Parasite.
Right.
But, you know, obviously,
there are no big bugs or anything.
Original story that really affected a lot of people, at least awards voters, and that's why it won the big awards the other night.
Well, there was also that theme, of course, of the poor man being the father, of the reason he does what he does at the end is obviously a built-up of feeling, you know, disenfranchised, not powerful. You know, there's all that. It's a class. It's a caste system. Almost.
Yeah, definitely a clash of society.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, the haves versus the have-nots.
Exactly. So there's greater meaning, and I get the underlying. I get what maybe the voters were voting on, but it was troubling.
Yeah. And of course, the reason we're talking about it, apart from being Best Picture, mm-hmm. it just started streaming on video not too terribly long ago, and because of its Best Picture win, it is being released in 2,000 theaters nationwide. Hmm. And on top of that, the timing, talk about for the Walker Art Center, they had a retrospective planned with Bong Joon-ho a while ago, and it just so happens that three nights after he won the Oscar, he was in town. So that was quite a big deal for them as well. So, yeah, it's all the buzz in Hollywood. There's no question about that.
You going to see it?
I'm going to see it. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Let the subtitles bother you, though. I mean, I don't at all. I mean, and you know, if you get engrossed in the story, and I would imagine, Jordana, is it the sort of film, did you have trouble with the subtitles? I mean, to me, it's so engrossing. The subtitles become not really an issue after
Yeah, they were small on my screener, so maybe that's not that way in the movie.
Tim, I use subtitles when Jordana speaks because she talks so fast.
It wasn't bad.
Pick
though.
Up every third word.
It wasn't bad.
Sometimes
right.
It's English.
And you know what's going on in the movie. It's almost like, yeah, you're right, Tim. You're engrossed. You really get the characters. I mean, the acting is phenomenal. I totally believed all of them.
Yeah, and it has an atmosphere. It has an edge mm-hmm. to it. And obviously this air of unpredictability, because especially when we get into the third act.
Yes, correct.
I mean, there are certainly things that happen that you wouldn't expect.
It hits the fan. Yeah, so there's that. This next movie I'm really excited for you to review. It's called Downhill with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell.
Just been through a lot lately. My dad passed away.
That's a shame. 8 months ago.
So we came here.
He's still here.
He's still here. You lose a parent and the ticking gets louder. Every day is all we have.
We have, yep.
Powerful. Maybe we ski the beast after lunch.
Pete.
I don't think it'll be that challenging. It'll be fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
I love them both.
Yeah, I do too.
This better be funny, Tim.
Well, I'll tell you, at the Oscars the other night, one of the highlights for me, the presenters, mm-hmm. were Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell. I thought they were very funny.
Agreed.
It really set the bar high. I thought, you know, they got a good rapport. This is going to be a good movie. It's going to be a funny movie,
mm-hmm.
but
oh, no.
It's a huge disappointment.
Even her?
You combine those two and you still get a flop? How?
Well, I'll tell you why. Okay, so they play a married couple. They have two boys. They're on a vacation in the Swiss Alps. Uh-huh. There's this controlled avalanche that happens, okay? Will runs in panic. Julia stays there with the kids. That causes a huge rift.
Yeah.
So basically what we have for an hour and a half are these two fighting one another. Okay, this is supposed to be a comedy drama, but I just felt really uncomfortable. I didn't think they were funny in the least, maybe a little bit at the beginning. But basically, it's like watching a family implode for an hour and a half.
Ooh, yuck.
Yeah, and on top of it, you got these two kids involved. I mean, imagine you're on a vacation and you and your significant other are fighting, and there are two kids that are just want to enjoy themselves and everything else, but it spoils it for everybody. So it's really, to me, a complete waste of both Will and Julia's talents. Again, they are very capable performers. Mm-hmm. They both can be very, very funny. But here they're trying to go the dramatic route. And, again, it's basically an hour and a half of them bickering at each other.
Mm. Oh, then I'm not going to go see. I was considering seeing it
this
weekend.
Yeah, it's an odd choice for a Valentine's Day release. I mean, what couple wants to go see a movie about two people fighting?
Yeah, we can go home for that.
No, I mean, you know, a married couple fighting. Who wants to see that?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just baffled by the whole idea of it. I thought, again, you're thinking with those two stars, it's got to be great. And I was really let down.
Wow. Oh, so am I. But all right, thanks for your honesty. We appreciate it.
Well, certainly. And I'm afraid that whoever goes to it's going to find the same thing.
Yeah.
It's, again, the timing. You think, oh, okay, this is going to be fun. You know, Valentine's Day weekend, great date movie. Not.
Give us some homework, Tim. What are you going to be reviewing for streaming when you come on Tuesday? Do you know yet?
I am looking at it's actually starting today, but it's on Hulu,
okay.
And it is High Fidelity. Remember that John Cusack movie?
Sure do.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yes, great movie. I love the movie. Well, now they've turned it into a series, And Lisa Bonet, who is one of John Cusack's lovers in that movie, okay, her daughter, Zoe Kravitz, actually plays the John Cusack character. So there's a role reversal there. So it's kind of an odd deal where we have, you know, the daughter of one of the original stars starring in this. So I'm really looking forward to it because that, on top of those two, Jack Black was also in that picture. So it's really a tall order, and I'm interested to see what they do with the series.
All right, so anybody at home can start watching High Fidelity and listen to Tim's review on Tuesday or certainly join in.
Hey, Tim, my wife has me watching Virgin River on Netflix, which is like
you mentioned that.
Yeah, it's a harlequin romance thing, and I found this out like 3 episodes in.
He hates it.
And, well, I want to watch stuff with my wife. Can we do a segment on how to do that? You know, you want to do stuff with your spouse, but if she's watching or he's watching something that just you have no interest in.
I think you need a therapist for that, not a movie critic.
Do I?
Yeah, well, maybe. Well, I tell you what, though, Paul. I mean, you're watching that. You could be watching The Goop Lab. So there you go.
I'm a fan. Tim, we're done. Thank you so much. Tim's
all right, well, have a great
weekend.
We'll talk to
you. You too. Thanks,
Tim.
Thank
you. You too, sir. Tim's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
And he joined us from the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. I love HGTV. It's something most Americans can agree on. If there isn't football or baseball or hockey, maybe we watch HGTV, you know, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi.
They're not on
other
HGTV.
Politicians will not show up on that
Thank
channel.
God.
It's just about, you know, upgrading your house, renovating your house. The whole concept of little houses. Tiny houses as possibly being a solution or one of many solutions for the homeless crisis. We explore that in depth when we come back.
This traffic update is brought to us by Aquarius Home Services. 4 accidents, starting with the first. I make that 169 northbound between 77th Ave North and Hennepin County Road 81. A crash 694 eastbound between East River Road and 47 University Ave. There's an accident 694 westbound between US 10 and US 10 North Snelling Hamline Ave. That's Arden Hills. And an accident working to clear 62 eastbound between 34th Ave and 55 near Mendel. Dota. We may be dreaming of spring, but there's still lots of winter to go. For just $69, Aquarius Home Services will come out and complete a furnace safety check to help make sure you're prepared for the rest of winter. Visit AquariusHomeServices.com today. Hear traffic and weather together exclusively on WCCO, your next update at 3:48.
Welcome back. It is 3:36. Jordana Green, Paul Douglas, David Josephson at the helm. Now, Paul, with these temperatures that we've had the past few days, my thoughts anytime I step outside always go to people that are homeless.
Yeah.
I think, how could anybody possibly survive? You know, we don't put our kids at the bus stop because 5 minutes of exposed skin could cause frostbite. And I often think of people that are unfortunate enough not to have a home, and what do they do?
Thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people worried about their next meal and where they're going to spend the night. Will they be able to stay safe? So I'm always intrigued with anybody that has a potential solution.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
And that's what really raised our awareness and brought our attention to what's happening up in Forest Lake, one of my favorite spots in the Twin Cities metro. I'm so happy to see a church taking a chance and trying something different.
Co-founder of Settled, Gabriel Cloutus, and Reverend John Clowater. Thank you.
Yeah.
Pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Forest Lake are joining us in studio because they are proposing a very unique solution to the problem of homelessness. Tiny homes that are on church property.
Right.
Am I right, guys?
You got it.
Okay. Gabriel, let's start with you. You are the co-founder of Settled, Be Settled. And tell us what exactly that is.
So it's essentially a nonprofit that was birthed out of the University of Minnesota. The last 3 years, we've been doing research on homelessness in the Twin Cities, and then broadly, what are the prevailing models, and then recognizing that we need new ways of thinking about homelessness, that it's not just housing that people need or lack, that it's really community and integration into and intentional community settings. So Settled is an organization to partner with faith communities to build intentional community alongside the poor on their land.
And the key is really volunteers, right? Stepping up and in many cases living in these tiny homes along with the people that need that housing.
Absolutely. So the population that we're talking about is the chronically homeless. They have been on the streets for 10, 20, 30 years. They've lost their family. They've lost community. And it's going to require, lay people to come around them, not just helping professionals, but people that are interested in coming and augmenting that role of family, being good friends, being good neighbors, living in the same type of housing, side by side, getting their groceries from the same place, growing veggies in the same gardens, and really just letting people know that they're known, they're loved, and, they're welcome.
It sounds a lot like a kibbutz.
Absolutely.
But these are separate tiny homes that you propose building for each either homeless person or homeless family. How did the partnership between you and the pastor at Faith Lutheran Church come to be?
I got invited to a meeting, and they were talking about I got invited to the meeting after last winter. Remember how cold it was? And I know you're talking about how cold that polar vortex
brutal.
Was.
Yep.
And so I got invited to a meeting saying one of the pastors at St. Andrews in Matamidi said, hey, we want to start talking about ways that we can do some homeless ministry for singles. Our congregation has a history of supporting families who are homeless, and so we've been very supportive of the Hugo Family Shelter. And so I got invited to this meeting where Ann and Gabrielle talked about their model of this community-based with tiny houses. And we had a very generous member of our congregation who had given us some money, and part of his designation was, I'd like this to help the poor, the homeless, and the veteran. And we thought, wow, what could we do with this? Instead of maybe taking this money and then writing another check, how could we engage in some partnership and really strengthen our own ministry of some partnership with other people, with other community members? And so that really started a conversation with the two of us, and we started saying, wow, could this work, and what are the next steps that we need to take?
Reverend Klobiter, by the way, you have 8 children?
I do have 8 kids, yes.
Wow. Congratulations. You have been very blessed.
I could have 8 tiny houses on my land. That would be phenomenal.
Now, the church, and again, Faith Lutheran has almost 8 acres, and so the idea is to have a village, if you will, of 12 of these tiny homes. Has there been any pushback? Have any neighbors raised concerns about this?
It's not really in a pushback phase. It's in a conversation phase.
Okay.
People are asking a lot of questions.
Because they're not built yet,
We haven't built this.
Right.
We haven't done that yet, but we are in a development phase. So we've been exploring, what's this going to take? What are the conversations that we need to have with our neighborhood, with the city, and also with other partners? We don't see this as being just Faith Lutheran on its own. We see other churches and religious organizations saying, wow, this is an opportunity that we might be able to partner with. And it's a model that's also a lot more affordable. And that's a big part of that is a typical tiny house is going to be anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000. And I think most religious organizations would say, well, that's maybe more within our ballpark that we'd be able to help support.
This is putting Christ's teachings into practice, right? Love your neighbor
Absolutely.
As yourself. And I can't think of anything.
You can't really. This is living out our faith.
Yeah.
And when we've been called to actually see who our neighbors are and understand that there's this significant issue within our world where people need housing. And there are many solutions that are out there and there are a lot of people working towards solutions. But this is one part of that solution where the church can really step up and do some impressive things.
Also, a lot of homeless people have mental illness problems. Is there a solution in this planned community to deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we know from the research is that, if you're chronically homeless, you probably suffer from chronic health conditions, mental illness, or substance abuse, or a combination of both. Most of the solutions in our society just look at those and not the root causes of those. But we know that the root causes are really adverse childhood experiences or just a lifetime of trauma, of neglect, abuse, of violence that started from childhood. And so we know that people actually do better and the healing begins when they're in a community where they're known. rather than just an isolated housing unit where they're next to neighbors who didn't ask to live next to them, don't know their backgrounds, can't relate. So the beginning of this is to start with a family setting where people are invited into an environment where they're welcomed into family traditions and family meals, and we just start to live and think and act more communally.
So you do that by, are you serving meals in the church?
Well, we would actually have a common house. And so part of a lot of the ministry would be able to engage with the residents who are living in the houses, but also with, as Gabrielle was mentioning at the beginning, some of the residents would actually be what we'd call missionals, people who have chosen to live in this lifestyle, to live amongst the poor. And so partnering the gifts of those residents with advocates within our congregation and doing some work together just to be able to have that opportunity.
The tiny home concept, is it working anywhere else?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can see 24 successful tiny home villages around the nation, but there's only one tiny home village that's taking a community-first approach. Every one of those other villages are just specifically tailored to the homeless, and that's who's living there. And so while it's a great model, we're not breaking down the stereotype of who the homeless are and what kind of neighbor they're going to be. There's one village in Austin, Texas, of 250 microhomes and RVs, because they do everything bigger in Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 200 of those are people that are coming directly out of chronic homelessness, that hardest to house, most expensive population. And then 50 of those are missionals, people that have never experienced homelessness themselves, but just have a calling or desire to be a good neighbor.
Wow.
And so that's really the power of this model, a community-first model, housed and unhoused, resourced and unresourced, coming and living together, paying the same rent, and just being this great equalizer to recognize, hey, we're all on this earth together, we belong to one another, and we have something to learn from each other.
We're out of time, but you need money, right? You need money to make this happen. How can people help?
Yeah, you can go to BeSettled, BeSettled.org, and just really kind of engage in what the model is and donate and get and participate in building community here in the Twin Cities as a model that could really be replicated across the nation.
Reverend John Klobiter, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Forest Lake, and Gabriel Claudus, congratulations on the imminent birth of your third child.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Maybe tonight.
Maybe tonight.
You schlepped down to the studio. We're very impressed. And we're excited about what you're doing up there. And God bless and Godspeed, and we hope it works.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us on.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah,
thank
love
you.
It.
Very cool.
This is fantastic.
Yep.
I love everything.
I think they're on to something.
I love it. It's also 3:46. We are super late for the break. When we get back, Will Ferrell's Valentine's Day notes to his wife. They're hilarious. Next. It is Valentine's Day. Today is the day. If you haven't done it yet, you have a few hours left to get down to the factory store, the Abdullah Factory Store. You can always pick up a box of the downtown assortment or the midnight assortment at fine retailers near you. But do not go home tonight without a box or a bag of Abdullah candies and chocolates. Those smooth mouth-watering truffles will make her forget that you forgot your card this morning. Mm-hmm. Those hand-dipped chocolate-covered cherries will make everything better. They are so delicious. The factory store has a gift shop cards. You get the whole shebang. You come home with your hands full, an abundance of Valentine's treats. The Abdullah family has been making candies and chocolates for you right here in Minnesota since 1909. There is no better Valentine's gift. So, if you forgot this morning, do not forget tonight. Abdullah candies and chocolates for the most delicious and forgiving Valentine's Day yet.
Okay. Different.
I guess it works. She must laugh. They're wow. Married a long time already. Decades.
Whatever works.
Oh, that's
whatever
funny.
Makes you laugh.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Although, I haven't read Handsome Husband's card yet, but usually he just writes, like, love, Mark. And I say, well, why don't you write something, you know, mm-hmm. in there? He goes, I'm afraid somebody at work might read it.
Oh, really?
So he doesn't.
Is he afraid I would read it on the air?
He doesn't want to, like, write something, I don't
nothing
know, sexy
too mushy,
or whatever, mushy, because he said, I don't know, somebody might read it.
He knows us too well.
Yeah. Smart man. Hey, we have unique mating rituals in this country. Chocolate, wine, all kinds of ways, right?
That are we getting into your personal life?
No. I read a story at the New York Times. as awkward as our mating rituals can be, animals have it much worse. Okay. Actually, some of them have the right idea. The male painted turtle, the way that the male painted turtle entices females sounds quite romantic. Uh-oh. The male faces the female, stretches out his long, dainty claws, and strums the sides of her neck, head, and face.
I like a nice massage, too.
This courtship gesture has been apparently documented since the days of Charles Darwin. Male octopuses.
Are they called octopuses or are they octopi?
Octopi?
What are they?
I don't know. That is above my pay grade.
All right.
But they take a considerable risk when mating, and they mate anyway, because the females are bigger and stronger. And after being together, many times the males are strangled and eaten by the female octopuses. Was it good for you? Hello?
Is that wrong? Oh, poor guys.
Yeah.
That's a good way to go.
And the hermaphroditic.
Except the eaten part.
Yeah. That's not good. Hermaphroditic land snails. Sex is complicated. Apparently, these are promiscuous snails. Mm-hmm. And they're capable of being a father and a mother at the same time.
Oh, so they, okay.
They engage in a violent race.
With themselves?
To sire as many offspring as they can. They don't live very long.
So it takes two to make it happen.
Yeah, but they can switch roles on a dime.
I can't wrap my brain
sex
around that.
Yeah. I know. Nature is confusing.
That is confusing because you think you're mating with one, and then if they change, then you can't finish.
But, you know, it could always be worse. You could be a male octopus. Really?
But see, the good part about that is they don't know going in what's going to happen.
Well.
So they're thinking, I'm getting lucky.
But you think if they could communicate, that this would have been communicated by now to the males.
Just be very careful.
Well, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, they can't
procreate.
Let the next one know.
And then they get eaten. That's tough. That's hard.
It's a little funny.
Damn.
It's a little funny. When we get back, Ask Jordana. We're going to do our advice segment. Here's a fun question. How do I tell my friend I don't want the painting of the paint of my cat in a Star Wars costume? How do you tell your friend you don't want that painting? Find out next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.